ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, ஸ்லோகா 239. ஞாத்ரு ஜ்ஞேய ஞான சூன்யம் அனந்தம் நிர்விகல்பகம் கேவல அகண்டசின்மாத்திரம் பரம் தத்துவம் விதுர்புதாஹ. சோ கண்டினியூயிங் வித் தி ஸ்வரூப லக்ஷணம், வி வென்ட் த்ரூ திஸ் டிஃபரன்சஸ் தட்டஸ்த லக்ஷணம் அண்ட் ஸ்வரூப லக்ஷணம் அண்ட் ஆல் இன் த லாஸ்ட் வெபினார். சோ கண்டினியூயிங் வித் த ஸ்வரூப லக்ஷணம், சங்கராச்சாரியா ஹி சேஸ் ஞாத்ரு ஞேய ஞான சூன்யம். Previously, Shankaracharya, he used the word aprameyam in the previous shloka, the last shloka. And the corollary line is this actually. Jnatru means knower. Jnayam is known. And jnanam. Jnanam is the knowing instrument or the pramana. That is pramatru, prameya, pramana. We have seen this usage of all these terms earlier. And shunyam. Shunyam means rahitam. So without that, and therefore only it is anantam, it is infinite, it is anantam, then how do we talk about knowing Brahman? Because it is beyond all this, then how can we ever know that Brahman? So if you talk about Brahma jnana, for example, if you so Brahman is without jnatru, jnaya and jnanam, how to talk about Brahma jnanam? That's a basic doubt everybody will have. So if you say Brahman is without all this, so if you talk about Brahma Jnanam, then Brahman becomes what? An object of knowledge. And we say Brahman is not an object of knowledge. So we have to remember actually there is a Keno Upanishad, there is a beautiful saying. Naham manye suvedeti nona vedeti vedicha yona tadveda tadveda nona vedeti vedacha. It's beautifully said. So knowing that Brahman as not an object of knowledge, that is knowing Brahman. Knowing the Brahman as not an object of knowledge is knowing Brahman. You don't know Brahman as an object of knowledge, of knowing Brahman in the form that it is not an object of knowledge, that is knowing Brahman. Then if it is not an object of knowledge, then what is that? That is the I, the very subject. So we have seen all these things earlier. Perhaps in some other context, we can elaborate this thing more. But already we have seen for the present, we already know these concepts. So jnatru, jnaya, jnana, shunyam and anantam without any limit. Anta, anta means limit. This is anantam. And when we talk about limit also, we have seen this earlier. Limit is threefold limits. Time-wise limitation, space-wise limitation and property-wise limitation. And property is any property is a limit also, because to have one property, that means what? It is to exclude all other properties, particularly the opposite properties. So to have one property means to exclude definitely the opposite property. Brahman cannot afford to have any property at all. Even goodness cannot be attributed to Brahman. Because if you say Brahman is good, then bad is excluded. That is why in all systems of philosophies, evil is a very difficult concept to explain in all of the systems of philosophy. So all philosophies have to discuss one chapter. What is evil? They need to devote one chapter for that. And especially the theological systems. If evil is kept outside good, then God becomes limited. And if evil is included in good, then what happens? God loses his goodness. The very God is glorified because he is supposed to be the embodiment of all goodness. So what do we do? Problem in all the philosophies is this. So what is our solution for that? Paramarthika and Vyavaharika Satyam in Vedanta. In Advaita Vedanta. So evil is ignorance. We define evil as ajnanam according to Vedanta. There is no other evil other than ignorance. And ignorance belongs to Vyavaharika Satyam, practical reality. It is superimposed on Brahman, but not part of Brahman. Ignorance is superimposed on Brahman. It is not part of Brahman. To put it in theological language, evil is superimposed on God, not a part of God. Anyway, so this is a totally different topic. We don't have to get into that. So what we have to remember is what Ananta means: Brahman cannot be called even good, because then he will be limited. So there is no spatial limitation. There is no time-wise limitation or even property-wise limitation for Brahman. So Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheda, Shunyam, Anantam. Then Kevala Khanda Chinmatram. We have seen all these also earlier. Earlier we saw Vishuddha Vijnana Ganam in Shloka 237, if you remember. So the same idea is repeated here. Kevala Akhanda Chinmatram. It is pure consciousness which is non-dual and divisionless. So it doesn't have all the divisions. Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata Bedaha. All those things are not there. So Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Beda, Rahita, Shunya. Param Tattvam. And which is the absolute reality. Param, absolute reality. Which is beyond the relative. And which transcends the relative. And again, we should be careful. When we say it is beyond the relative, the word beyond does not mean it is far away spatially. Like saying New York City is beyond, let us say, a town like Hoboken. It is not far away in that sense. It is not a distance thing that we are talking about. We are talking about beyond. Means it is here, the word beyond has no idea of distance at all. It means belonging to different order of reality. That's what beyond here means. It belongs to a different order of reality. That much we should understand here. So, for example, the screen is beyond the movie. That means what? Screen is in and through the movie, but is not affected by the movie. Because movie is only a nama rupa. Or for example, the waker is beyond the dream world, which means waker is in and through the dream, but not the same order of reality as dream. So param tattvam means what? It is paramarthikam. So this satyamittartha, paramarthika satyamittartha is what? Param satyam. And buddhaha viduhu, buddhaha means the wise people, such a brahman, the wise people, they know. Buddhaha, wise people, they know. Shloka 240. అహేయమనుపాదేయం మనోవాచమగోచరం అప్రమేయమనాద్యంతం బ్రహ్మపూర్ణం మహన్మనః. So in the second line, if you see, most of the words are repetitions only. We have seen all these words earlier also. Aprameyam, we saw in Shloka 238, second line, not an object of knowledge. And anadyantam, also we saw in Shloka 237, third line, adhyanta vihinam. That's what we saw, without beginning or end. And then Brahma. Brahma means we have seen this as Purna. Earlier we have seen this also. Same as Ananta. So all these words are all repetitions only. Then we have to go to the first line, aheyam and anupadeyam. It is neither an object of rejection or an object of acceptance. Because our entire life is nothing but what? A series of give and takes only. Taking and giving, giving and taking. So Brahman is not available for give and take at all. It is beyond any transaction. So don't think that in moksha I will get Brahman. Going to Vaikuntha or Kailasa or any of those places I will get Brahman. No. All these are concepts of moksha belonging to perhaps the LKG level of Vedanta. Then mano vacham agocharam. It's a very, very popular expression in Vedanta. It is beyond the scope of mind or thought and words. It is inconceivable and therefore it is inexplicable also. So mano vacham agocharam Brahma. Then mahan mahaha, the greatest illuminator. Mahaha means here actually Jyotihi, and Mahajyotihi it is. Mahan Mahaha. So Jyotisham Jyotihi, the illuminator of everything. Hereafter, actually, we are going to now enter into the next topic, Jiva Brahma Aikyam. The oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma, the main topic of Vedanta, is what we are going to enter, which starts from the next shloka, shloka 241, we will read. Tattvam padabhyam abhidhiyamanayoh brahmatmano shoditayor yaditham shrutya tayos tattvamasiti samyak ekvatvameva pratipadyate muhuh. So from this shloka onwards up to shloka 253, that is 241 to 253, we get the topic of Jiva Brahma Aikyam, the identity or oneness of individual self and the universal self. Jiva Brahma Aikyam, this is a topic, is going to be the topic next on so many of these shlokas. We are going to see that in detail. The identity or oneness of the essence of Jiva and the essence of Brahman, and that of Brahman. And what is the essence of both of them? It is consciousness. Similarly, the essence of both of them is existence also, capital E, Sat. So Sat, Chit, that is the essence of both Jiva and Ishvara. And therefore, they are one and the same, essentially. This oneness is revealed through the well-known statement in the Shruti, in the Vedas, Tat Tvam Asi, Tattvam Asi. And any statement that reveals the Jiva Brahma Aikyam, that is called a Mahavakyam. It is a technical name. It is a statement or of an equation, for example. Someone called it as the great equation. Like, for example, the matter-energy equation, E equal to mc square, which is considered a revolutionary discovery equation. The similarity. Similarly, here also, the Jiva Brahma Aikyam, that equation is considered such a great revelation. So, Brahmatmanoho Ekatvam Pratipadyate. The oneness of Brahman and Atman is revealed. When? This is Shrutya Pratipadyate. It is revealed in the Veda Pramana. It is revealed by the Vedas, because it can never be understood through perception or inference or even science. Cannot be understood. And therefore, this topic is considered to be an apaurusheya vishayaha. Apaurusheyam, that which is not accessible to the human means of knowledge and perception. And therefore, Shruti chooses to reveal this fact, and therefore, Shrutya Brahmatmanoho Ekatvam Pratipadyate. And how? Samyak Pratipadyate. Very clearly it is revealed. Without any vagueness. There is no doubt at all. Very clearly it is revealed. And through what statement it is revealed? Through the statement like Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, Ayamatma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma. Every Veda has got one Mahavakya. There are actually several Mahavakyas and one important Mahavakya, these four, in Mandukya Upanishad of Atharvana Veda. We have got the Mahavakyam Ayamatma Brahma. In the Aitreya Upanishad of Rigveda, we have got the Mahavakyam Prajnanam Brahma. In the Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda, we have got Tattvamasi. And in the Brahadaranyaka Upanishad of Yajurveda, we have got Aham Brahmasmi. These are the four sample Mahavakyas we take from each Veda. But there are many, many Mahavakyas. And another very well-known Mahavakya is what? Sayaschayam Purushe, Yaschasavadityye, Sayekaha. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda. Therefore, it is not a vague statement, but a deliberate revelation in the Shruti. Therefore, Samyak Pratipadyate. Tattvamasi iti. And how? Not once, muhuhu, again, repeatedly, it is revealed in so many Upanishads. In the Chantogya Upanishad, the Tattvamasi statement occurs 9 times. And when the teacher makes the statement, he is aware of the fact that the student will not swallow the statement that easily. Very difficult. And therefore, before repeating the statement, several examples are given in the Upanishad to show the possibility of such a oneness. It is not impossible. If only one is able to think in the line of Shruti, it is possible. Only we have to raise ourselves to the level of the Vedas, to the Shruti. It can be grasped. In fact, actually, we do that very often only. For example, when I say you are a fat person, if I say somebody is a fat person, according to the context, you understand the word fat as a physical personality, the body. And again, when I say you are a happy person, in that context, the finger penetrates the physical body and goes to the emotional or mental personality. And when I say you are grasping my statement, it goes to the intellectual personality. Therefore, even though I use the same word you, according to the context, it is understood to you what it means. Then when I say you are all pervading, then you should know where the finger should stop. And for that alone, the Upanishad has already done Pancha Kosha Viveka and introduced the consciousness also. And if the finger goes up to the consciousness principle, then naturally the limitations of the body-mind complex will not be perceived at all. And when I say you are a whole, then you understand the total. And therefore, what is required is a cooperative listening, as Swamiji says, not a hostile listening, which is done by all the Purva Pakshis. You know, Purva Pakshi Siddhanta? It's not hostile listening at all. Because how not to accept this Vedanta, that is all their topic was all the time. How not to accept the Vedanta. And so if one does a cooperative listening, Shruti can be understood very clearly. So the Shruti talks about enormous takes, enormous pains, giving 8 or 9 examples and says, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi each time. Therefore, Muhuhu. Muhuhu means ekatvameva pratipadyate. Between what? Tayoho brahmatmanoho. Between Brahma and Atma. Or Paramatma and Jivatma. And who are they now? Tattvam padabhyam abhidiyamanayoho. Which are revealed by the two words Tat and Tvam. Adjective brahmatmanayoho. So, this abhidiyamanayoho means referred to, indicated by, denoted by. What? Tat tvam padabhyam. Here tatvam should not be taken as one word. It should be taken as tat tvam. Tat tvam padabhyam. Revealed through the tat pada and the tvam pada. What is revealed? Brahma and Atma are revealed. Between these two, the oneness. And that also how to be done it is. Shodhitayoho means which are well clarified, well understood, clearly understood. And what do we mean by Shodhana? Actually, it is going to be explained very well later. We will understand as that oneness between Jivatma and Paramatma. That's what we are doing. And it can never be at the body level at all. The oneness between Jivatma and Paramatma can never be at the body level. Because at the body level, Jivatma is finite and it is mortal. Where Paramatma is said to be infinite and immortal. How can Brahman and the individual ever be the same? And therefore, the Jivatma should be understood in its proper meaning. And that proper meaning is called Shodhita Tvam Padarthaha. It is a technical word actually, which will become clear only after seeing some more shlokas that we will see in detail later, which has been grasped in its proper meaning, that is called Shodhana, which is free from any kind of misconception. So this verse is like, for example, the introductory shloka for the Mahavakya Vichara, or the Pratignya verse, we can call it the Pratignya verse. So this verse alone is going to be elaborated in the following shlokas. And therefore, after reading the following shlokas, we have to again come back to this shloka and reread to understand better. And ittam, there's a word ittam, which has been discussed actually in the previous shloka in this manner. That is, the word tvam reveals Jivatma. The word Tat reveals Paramatma or Brahman. So both we have seen before earlier. And how we have seen the Tvam Pada? through panchakosha vichara. So through panchakosha viveka, we have seen, we have understood tvampada. We have already analyzed tvampadartha, the jivatma. And we have already analyzed the tat padartha. How? By discussing the tatastha lakshanam and swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. We did in the last webinar. So Shankaracharya is reminding of what was discussed earlier by the word ittam in this manner. So we have to only tie this tat and tvam together. So this mangalya dharana between tat and tvam, that has to be done. The connection between these two has to be done, and that Mangalya Tantu, Swamiji calls it Mangalya Tantu, that is that string, that is called Mangala Sutra, that is what? The Asi Padam. So Tat, Tvam, and the Asi Padam acts as the Mangalya Tantu in the Tattvamasi. So the word Asi is the auspicious string which brings together the Tat Pada and the Tvam Pada. Therefore, Tat Pada Vichara is over. Swampada vichara is over. Now we will enter into the asipada vichara or aikya vichara. That is what is going to be the topic next. So now let us read the next shloka concerning this asipada. Shloka 242. Aikyam tator lakshita yorna vachyayoho nigadyate nyonya viruddha dharminoho kadyodaban voriva raja brityayoho Beautiful examples are given. Here the Acharya enters into the Mahavakya analysis. And we have to know certain principles of interpretations before our analysis, before we go into the shloka. Only then the analysis will become clear. So Shankaracharya talks about this also in later verses, but it will be easier if we see them at least in a nutshell now, in the beginning, than waiting until later. And that's why I thought we can briefly discuss this, the concept. And the basic principle is every word can have more than one meaning. Basic understanding, every word can have more than one meaning. And the method by which a word conveys its meaning, that is called vrittihi, technically. So this has been very elaborately analyzed in our shastras, because our shastras are primarily what? Concerned with analyzing the scriptures. Since we have to get all the knowledge from the scriptures, and scriptures are in the form of words, we have to thoroughly study how the words communicate, and this is called Shabda Pramana Vicharaha. Shabda Pramana Vicharaha, analysis of words as a means of knowledge. And this study has to go through, it has to be gone through, because what the words reveal in the scriptures are those that are not available for cross verification. I cannot go and verify it elsewhere. If they are available for cross verification, then one need not concentrate on the words. Because, for example, if there is, let us say that there is a temple which is 4.5 miles away, we need not listen to it very, very well, very attentively, completely, because approximately 4 to 5 miles is enough. There is a temple and you go there, the sense organs, the eye, they are also going to reveal the temple. Therefore, the temple is known through two means of knowledge. Through the words that you know, somebody directed you, and you can further know or corroborate through perception. You can see the temple. But the scriptural words, they are different. They are not like these. They don't deal with a subject matter which is available for other means of knowledge. The words are an independent means of knowledge which are going to be a unique knowledge. So, which is not accessible to other means. It is like the colors, for example, revealed by the eye. When the eye reveals the color, I can get the knowledge only through the eye. I cannot say I will verify the color through my nose or ears. Because the eyes reveal something which is accessible only to eye. Actually, the very definition of means of knowledge is that which reveals a unique thing which is not available by other means. And therefore, if I am not very clear about the object revealed by the eyes, What should I do? I have to use the eyes alone more clearly. Maybe I can go near, I can go far, I can put a glass, I can rub my eye, I can do anything, but I still have to use my eyes only to perceive a form. We can do all that, but the knowledge of color can be gained only by the eyes. Similarly, Shastram is a chakshu, is the eye, which reveals a unique subject matter which is not accessible for cross verification, and therefore I have to use what? Shastram only for clear understanding what the Shastra has to reveal. If it is not clear, I cannot go to science to verify. I have to go to Shastram only again and again and again. How long? Till it becomes clear. Till I gain that unique knowledge, which can neither be verified by other means of knowledge nor contradicted by other fields, other means of knowledge either. It cannot be contradicted also. Till one gains that knowledge, one has to go on studying the Shastras. There is no other way. It may even take several janmas, but there is no shortcut. And therefore, we have done a very, very deep analysis of how to extract the unique knowledge given by the words. And there only we talk about vritti. Vritti means what? Literally, vritti means pravritti, function. Function of what? Function of a word. And they talk about different types of vrittis. One vritti is called abhidha vrittihi. Called abhidha vrittihi, the primary function of a word, by which a word gives the most primary and popular meaning. Then there is a next type of vritti, and that vritti, that is called lakshana vrittihi. So abhidha vrittihi and lakshana vrittihi, the method of implication, which is to see the function by which the same word can give a secondary meaning. So, abhidha vritti and lakshana vritti, these two alone are important for our study at the present. Then they talk about another vritti also called gauni vrittihi. It's a figurative usage of a word. Like for example, saying you call a person, oh, he is a lion. It has nothing to do with the animal lion, but is figurative expression, which is called gauni vrittihi. So many vrittis are talked about in the Shastras. So we will focus on two of them now, namely abhidha vritti and lakshana vritti. So when a word communicates its meaning through abhidha vritti, then what that meaning is called vachyartha. I don't know whether I use the term vachyartha anywhere in our lecture earlier, but in other lectures I have. The primary meaning conveyed through abhidha vritti is called vachyartha. So what is the difference between vritti and artha now? Vritti is the name of the function and artha is the name of the meaning revealed through that function. Similarly, when the meaning is communicated through lakshana vritti, then that meaning is called lakshyartha. So vachyartha and lakshyartha. So every word can have vachyartha and lakshyartha. Primary and secondary meaning or implied meaning. It is not only in the Shastras, but in our regular communication also we use, you know, many number of words which will have primary as well as secondary meaning. Now the question is what? When a word has got primary and secondary meaning, will it not be confusing? Because if it has got two different meanings, it can be confusing. Because words are meant for communication, and if the same word has got two meanings, primary and secondary, then it will confuse. I might use in one meaning and you might understand it in a different meaning. There might be communication breakdown. For that, the Shastra says, when we listen to a person or read a book, our job is first to apply the primary meaning only. That is the first job. Because primary meaning is powerful, because it is primary, popularly known. So the rule is what? To always apply the primary meaning. And that is why the word abhidha vritti is sometimes called mukhya vritti. Also to indicate that it is mukhyam, it is important. And then where do you apply to see the actual meaning? By applying the primary meaning, if the sentence does not make sense, or communicate properly, the sentence does not do it. If there is a contradiction or it is nonsensical sometimes, then what are we supposed to do at that time? Either we dismiss the speaker as maybe he is blabbering something, or if he is a sane person, he can't talk nonsense. So therefore, we have to take the secondary meaning. This is all said by Shankaracharya, actually. I'm not saying anything. Swamiji clearly quotes this. Shankaracharya says this in his well-known work called Vakya Vritti. Manantara virode tu mukhyarthasya parigrahe mukhyarthena vinabhute pratitir lakshanochyate. Acharya gives shlokas for all of them. Apply the primary meaning and see the sentence. And if the sentence makes sense, then there is no problem. But applying the primary meaning, the sentence does not make sense, then apply lakshanavritti. This is a rule he has given. Then the question is, how to arrive at the second meaning? Because secondary meaning, because this is a discussion or a communication, because all our transactions are verbal. Our life is full of only that communication, either spoken language or written language. In fact, majority of our problems are what? You said that day like this. It is still in my mind. I am still remembering that. Families break down because of that. Wars break down between countries because of that. All because of words. That is why long before other cultures analyzed language, in India, the analysis of language was so deep because Vedas were there in the BC. You don't know what BC it is. And therefore, deep analysis of language has been done in our Shastras. Now, the question is what? What should be the norm in applying the secondary meaning? That should be the next question. So, the first norm given is what? The secondary meaning should be closely connected to the primary meaning. So, Shakya Vachyartha Sambandhe Lakshana. So, that is the first rule. First condition is that we should take, for example, a meaning which is connected to the primary meaning. It not be totally disconnected. And when we apply this norm, the scriptures, they point out that there are three possibilities. And what are those three possibilities? The first possibility is you drop the primary meaning totally and then take a secondary meaning. This is possibility number one. Which is related to the primary meaning. And this method of implication is called Jahati Lakshana. These are, I am giving some words just for the sake of completeness. No need to remember any of them, but just to know that these things, how detailed they have been analyzed. Jahati Lakshana. For example, when I say Australia is coming to India for a cricket match, what does it mean? Australia, the primary meaning is what? Australia is a geographical place. It is a huge continent. So we know Australia continent cannot come to India. And so the Vachyartha does not fit. So what we do now? We give up the Vachyartha and then you take the implied meaning. Instead of taking the land, we take the players, the cricketers. But what players? Not the West Indies players, but they should be connected to Australia. Vachyartha. Therefore, the Australian players are coming to India. This is called Jahati Lakshana. Then the second one is called Ajahati Lakshana, in which you take the Vachyartha, the primary meaning also, and in addition to that, you add a few things to make sense. You add a new meaning also, Vachyartha plus some addition to make sense. This is called Ajahati Vibhriti. For example, when you go to the hotel, yeah, this is very popular, and order, let us say, some snack like idli, for example. What does the waiter bring? Along with idli comes the chutney, the sambar, and even the plate. So, idli means what? When you ordered idli, idli means chutney sahita idli, sambar sahita idli, or plate sahita idli. That's what it means. He brings all of them. So, all these additional things are communicated by the word idli. By which lakshana now? Jahati or Ajahati lakshana it is? If it is Jahati lakshana, what will happen? He will bring plate, sambar and chutney, but no idli, because Vachyartha would be missing. So he will not bring that. But you want idli also along with that, along with others. So it is ajahati lakshana. Similarly, car comes means what? The car comes with the driver. So in fact, every word that we use has got these lakshanas. Then what is the third possibility? You don't give up the primary meaning totally. You don't take the primary meaning totally. You don't give it up. You don't take it also totally. So in jagati lakshana, what did we do? We left the primary meaning totally. In ajahati lakshana, we kept the primary meaning fully, plus we added something to that. Keeping idli, then we added something else. In the third case, the primary meaning is neither totally given up nor totally retained. That's the third case. We keep part of the primary meaning, give up part, and give up part of the primary meaning. So this is called Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. Third lakshana called Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana or Jagatya Jagati Lakshana. Jagati Ajagati Lakshana or Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. For example, when you ask someone to bring a mango or banana, in a mango, it has got all the components. It has the skin, it has got the seed, it has got the pulp, all the thing it has. And when you say, I have eaten mango, then what do we really understand? We see the context and understand that mango means the fruit minus the seed, the skin and all that. So we take off a certain portion from the primary meaning because the context is what? Eating the mango. Similarly, I go to a place where a new building has come, for example. Previously, that place, it was a garden. Then I use the expression, in this place alone, I was sitting and enjoying the beautiful breeze, whatever. So when I talk about this place, now this place is associated with the new building. The place includes the building. But when I say I was sitting here and enjoying, what do we really mentally mean? We take the place minus the building, the previous garden. Therefore, we take the primary meaning, but part of the meaning is given up. This is the other one, Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana, which is called Bhaga. So to give another example, for example, so no, I say I am worried. Normally, when I use the word I includes what? My body, my mind, my sense organs, my intellect, and of course, my consciousness also. All put together, I use the word I. But when I say I am worried, what is the meaning of the word I? Is the body or sense organs worried? There, the word I does not mean the full primary meaning of the word I. You eliminate the body, you eliminate the sense organs, you eliminate the consciousness and understand as I only the psychological personality of myself. And then what lakshana it is? It is not jagati lakshana, because then the whole I is gone if it is jagati lakshana. It is not ajagati lakshana also, that I keep something and add something else. I take part of I and give up part of I. And which part I take? The mental part I take. Which part I give up? All other parts, namely the physical body, the other, all the sense organs, all. So therefore, I am worried is Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. Similarly, I am fat is what lakshana? Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana again. Because fatness is of the physical body only and not emotions and all that. In fact, every time you use the word I, you are using only Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. Because you refer to either body, a body part, or mind part, or intellectual part, or anything. In fact, you do Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana effectively, efficiently, always. You are not even aware of that. We are all not even aware of that, but we are using it all the time. In the context of Mahavakya, what the Shastras then say? You are God. That's what the Shastras say. This is the Mahavakya. And what is the primary meaning of the word you? The primary meaning is, I include body, mind, that's the panchakoshas, and to put it in the technical language, plus the consciousness also. So panchakoshas plus consciousness. And God means what? God means again Brahman. So we saw with its creative power, because it is Jagat Karanam Brahman. So which creative power is called Maya Shakti? So the power of creation is Maya Shakti. Now, if you take the primary meaning of Jivatma and Paramatma, certainly they can never become one and the same. Because I, along with all these things, then I am taken, I am finite or infinite? I am a finite individual. I am not the cause of the creation. I am a mortal human being. Whereas Paramatma is what? We saw the description already. It is Jagat Karanam. It is eternal. It is immortal. And therefore, in the case of Mahavakyam, Abhidha Vritti cannot take place. Vachyartham cannot be taken, Abhidha Vritti. And therefore, we have to take Lakshyartham only, implied meaning. Once we accept this Lakshyartha only, that only has to be used. And what will be the issue then? Which Lakshana that I should take? Lakshyartha, which Lakshana should I take? Jagati or Ajagati or Bhagatyaga Lakshana, which I should take? And we will conclude that in the case of Mahavakya, Jagati Lakshana will not work, Ajagati Lakshana will not work, and Bhagatyaga Lakshana alone will work. And if you really apply that, Jiva will mean the pure consciousness minus the Panchakoshas. Pure consciousness minus the Panchakoshas. Ishvara will mean again what? The pure consciousness without the creative power. So remove the creative power of God and remove the created body. What will be left out? Only the pure consciousness. And from that angle, both are one and the same. That is how the oneness is arrived. In fact, the word both, even that is not correct, because there is no both at all. Ekam advitiyam chaitanyam eva. And once I claim that consciousness as myself, then the advantage is what? I can say I alone appear as a limited being. So that's what one can now conclude. These are all various corollaries that will all follow. So the advantage is I can say I am the consciousness myself, and then I am as a limited jiva, I alone appear as the creator. So I alone appear as jiva, I alone appear as the creator by myself. I am neither the creator nor the created. The capital I. So I am the adhishtanam of creator and the created. This is our destination, which we have to reach finally, ultimately. That is how Acharya now develops the discussion. So the creating power of Ishvara, the blessing power of Ishvara, the sustaining power of Ishvara, they are all what? They are all attributes of Ishvara. So whatever glory we see in Lord, they are all only attributes. And when we look at ourselves, what comes to our mind? That is, not I, the consciousness, but our miserable attributes only come to our mind about us. That is, anyonya viruddha dharmino. They are endowed with mutually opposed attributes, the Ishvara and myself. What are mutually opposed attributes? Primary meaning or Vachyartha has got mutually opposed attributes. Jiva is what? Jiva is Alpajnaha. Ishvara is Sarvajnaha. Jiva is Alpashaktiman. Ishvara is Sarvashaktiman. Jiva has got Alpagunaha. Ishvara has got Sarvagunaha. Satyakamaha. Satyasankalpaha. And Jiva is Alpavyapi. Ishvara is Sarvavyapi. Jiva is Dasaha. And Ishvara is Swami. Jiva is created. Ishvara is the creator. So all those differences we see. So in every respect, anyonya viruddha dharminoho. And how dare you then claim the oneness of Jiva and Ishvara? That is why many people are really angry with the Advaitin. How can you say, I am God? So Shankaracharya says, if you listen, there is no problem. Only you should care to listen to the Shruti. In the primary sense, they are all viruddha dharminoho. He gives actually four examples. They are all different only. One example is, kadyota bhavano, banvoho, kadyota banvoho. Kadyota, kadyota means a glowworm. You know, all these glowworm, I don't know. In cities, we don't see any of them. At least in the villages, when I used to grow up, I have seen all these glowworms at all in our village. So it's a glowworm. So in the night, it's an insect that flies with light in its body. Kadyotam means ke akashe dyotate iti kadyotaha. The one that shines in akasha. And then Bhanuhu. Bhanuhu is sun god. Sun, the Surya, it is also a luminary in the sky. So it is also in the sky. The Kadyotaha also is in the sky. But can you equate both of them? It is impossible. When the glow worm shines, the darkness is never dispelled. Whereas when the sun rises, the darkness is completely dispelled. And similarly, Jiva is like a glow worm. Ishvara is like the sun. Sun when? When you take the Vachyartha. And the second example, Rajabhrityayoho. Jiva is like a servant. Ishvara is like Raja. They are diagonally opposite. One is ruler. Another is ruled over. Then the third example is Kupa Amburashihi. Between well and the ocean, what oneness is possible between them? It is impossible. Similarly, Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is impossible. When you take the Vachyartha. Then Paramanu Merwoho. Between a Paramanu means an atom. Between an atom and Meru, Mount Himalayas. They are opposite completely. So Jiva and Ishvara is also same case. And therefore, Aikyam Na Nigadyate. Aikyam means oneness is never talked about from this angle at all. If you take the Vachyartha, literal meaning, you can never have primary direct meaning. You can never have oneness from this angle. Then from which angle it is talked about then? Lakshitayoho Aikyam Nigadyate. The Aikyam Nigadyate, it should be read twice. So Vachyayoho Aikyam Na Nigadyate. Lakshitayoho Aikyam Nigadyate. And we should be careful. We should not also interchange the Na. Vachyayoho Aikyam Nigadyate and Lakshitayoho Aikyam Na Nigyate. You should be careful not to use the Na in the wrong place. There is no identity from the standpoint of the primary meaning. There is identity only from the standpoint of the secondary meaning, the Lakshyarthaha. Now, what is the secondary meaning? Shankaracharya himself is going to explain in the following shlokas. We will read shloka 243.
Tayor virodho yamupadi kalpitaha navastava kaschidupadi reshaha ishasya maya mahadati karanam jivasya karyam shrunu panchakosham.
Actually, a correction to the fourth line, maybe in the book which I have also. So instead of panchakosham, panchakoshaha may be a better reading. That's what Swami says. So now Shankaracharya, he explains this further. Tayoho virodaha. The difference between Jiva and Ishvara. Jiva and Ishvara. It's caused by what? Caused because of the attributes of the Jiva and the attributes of the Ishvara. Because it is an attributive difference. Both are essentially what? Both are conscious principle only. Consciousness, both of them, Chaitanyam. In that, there is no difference at all. But in the attributes, there are differences. And do these attributes, do they belong to the consciousness intrinsically or not? That is a question. Attributes, do they belong to the consciousness intrinsically? If they are, then they are intrinsically different. But Shankaracharya says the attributes are not natural to consciousness at all. They are not intrinsic. Then it is what? It is incidental, caused by some extraneous factor. And the extraneous factor is called upadhi. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Ayam virodaha upadhi kalpitaha. These distinct attributes are caused by extraneous factors, not natural to consciousness. For example, the Shastraic example, you know, we have already seen this example earlier. The crystal which is colorless, clear crystal, but appears in different colors because of the upadhi. For example, a flower is kept by the side or a cloth is kept by the side, a colored cloth, so it appears. And another example also is given. Suppose there is all the arangetrams and all, this a dance program. And there is only one light, one clear light is there, but they have got some device with colored transparent papers with different colors. So when this device rotates, different lights come. different colors appear. So the light itself is free from all colors. The colors belong only to the upadhi, the device. Similarly, here also Shankaracharya wants to say that consciousness is nirguna. It does not have any attribute at all. Then the attribute is transferred from the upadhi, from the device. And how many upadhis are there? There are two upadhis. One upadhi for Ishvara and one upadhi for the jiva. And Ishvara's upadhi is a superior upadhi. And therefore, it transfers superior attributes to consciousness. Whereas jiva's upadhi is inferior upadhi. And like, for example, a 5-watt bulb and like a 1,000-watt bulb. We cannot say electricity is partial. No, it is only the property of the bulb. And another example given is, you know, the images from the convex lens and the concave lens. One of the face is elongated, another is shrunk, all that thing. Face is the same. Similarly, consciousness is neither sarvajnaha nor alpajnaha. Neither sarvashaktiman nor alpashaktiman. This is the consciousness. Neither sarveshwaraha nor alpeshwaraha. Neither the creator nor the created. Consciousness is none of them. So, anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, anyatra asmat krita kritat. In Kathopanishad, we have seen all these beautiful, you know, statements. So, it's very, very beautiful revelation. So, neither karyam nor karanam. And therefore, he says, upadhi kalpitaha. Upadhi kalpitaha. It is imagined because of upadhi, extraneous factor. That transfers their attributes. The upadhi transfers their attributes to consciousness, seemingly. It is not a real transference. We should be careful. Crystal does not really become red. The redness is seeming. It is seemingly transferred to the crystal by the cloth or by the flower, by the side of it. It's very, very important. It is not real transfer. By knowing that the red color need not be removed from the crystal because there is no red color belonging to the crystal, it is only a notional red color. There is no real red color at all. It is only notional. Only we need to understand that because of the proximity of the flower, the crystal seems red but not changed to red. Similarly, one need not remove the attribute or upadhi. You have to only remove the notion from the mind by understanding crystal is colorless, whether flower is there or not. Chaitanyam is like the crystal. That is why in the Shastram itself, you know, in Rudram, in Sri Rudram, the Dhyana Shloka, Shuddha Spatika Sankasham, that is the first word in the Dhyana Shloka. It is the attributeless consciousness. Shuddha Spatika Sankasham. Lord Shiva is thought of as the Nirgunam Brahman. But people won't understand this. So that is why immediately what the Shastra says, Trinetram Panchavaktrakam, puts all the attributes. It is three-eyed and five faces, all that. Then what are the two upadhis? If you look at the third line, Ishasya Upadhihi Maya Bhavati. We have to supply the word upadhi here. So the upadhi of Ishvara is Maya, the Maya Shakti. And what type of Maya it is? Which is the cause of the Mahat, etc. Mahat. Mahat is a technical word for Hiranyagarbha, the total. Hiranyagarbha is Mahat. So which is the first product of creation? That is why Hiranyagarbha is called in Shastra as Prathama Jaha, the one that is first born. So, Hiranyagarbha, etc., Maya is the Karanam. Thus, Ishvara has got what attribute? The creative power. Creator attribute is there because of what? Maya Shakti. And that is why in Saundarya Lahari, the very, very first shloka, Acharya says, Shiva Shaktya Yuktaha Yadi Bhavati Shaktaha Prabhavitam. The Acharya has put the highest Vedanta as a Saguna Padam here, very simply. Nirgunam Brahman is personified as Mr. Shiva and Maya Shakti is personified as Mrs. Shiva. And Shankaracharya says, Mr. Shiva cannot do anything without the support of Mrs. Shiva, the Maya Shakti. Shiva means Nirgunam Brahma. Maya means the creative power. Minus creative power, it is not possible. Then what is Jiva Upadhi? Jivasya Upadhihi, that is Karyam, the product. Whatever is created in the form of Panchakoshas, the created body is the upadhi of jiva, maya shakti is the upadhi of ishvara, and the created body, the panchakoshas, is the upadhi of jiva, and body is here represented as panchakoshah. So maya is ishvara upadhi and shariram is the jiva upadhi, and as long as these two upadhis are kept near, Ishvara will have superior attributes and Jiva will have inferior attributes. The moment you remove the attributes, then Jiva also is only pure consciousness. And Ishvara also is pure consciousness. Once you remove the upadhi, the medium, it is only pure consciousness. And it does not mean that there are two pure consciousness. One should be careful. There is no one Jiva pure consciousness and Ishvara pure consciousness. Otherwise, each will have limitation. And limitation will become an attribute then, because there is only one consciousness which was called Jiva and Ishvara, Jivatma and Paramatma, like Ghatakasha and Koshtakasha, all those kinds of things. Then the question comes, you say there is one consciousness which is attributeless, and Maya Upadhi belongs to Ishvara's attribute, and Sharira Upadhi belongs to Jiva's attribute, and because of this, there is superior, inferior notions, because Jiva superior, Upadhi is inferior, Ishvara Upadhi is superior, all those notions are there. Then a doubt may come, if there is consciousness, there is Maya, there is Shariram, are they not three entities? This doubt would come, because there is the consciousness, there is Upadhi Maya, and there is Upadhi Shariram. Then are they not three entities? Two Upadhis and one consciousness. Then where is Advaitam? Therefore, in the second line, Acharya gives the answer very clearly. Kaschit yeshaha upadhihi na vastavaha. This maya and shariram are mithya na vastavaha, enjoying a lower order of reality. It is not true. It's mithya. Therefore, they cannot be counted along with consciousness, because they derive their existence because of consciousness. For empirical purposes only, you may count as three, superior attributes, inferior attributes and all that. But ultimately, if you count, you cannot count Maya and Shariram, because they are of a lesser reality, lesser order of reality, or Vyavaharika reality, and they are dependent realities. Therefore, he says, Upadhi Mithya. So Shankaracharya, he tries to now analyze this Jiva Ishvara Aikya topic very systematically, and we will continue with the next shlokas in the next webinar. Yo Vedadav Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitah Tasya Prakritilinasya Ya Parasa Maheshwarah Sri Krishnartham Sutarayana. Let me stop the recording.